Good morning, everyone. My name is Ellie, and this is Thomas. And if we haven't had a chance to meet yet, we are the family pastors here at Oceanside.
And this morning, we are going to be introducing a new core value of our church today. Until today, we've had six core values. They are transformative prayer, prophetic worship, joyful obedience, radical generosity, mutual hospitality, and missional equipping. And as a pastoral staff, we are excited to present to you a new core value being added to the list, and it is intergenerational ministry.
Yeah. Introducing this as a core value does not mean that intergenerational ministry wasn't important before today. But it wasn't originally included in our list of core values because when Joseph and Hannah first got to this church, it wasn't really intergenerational yet. It would have felt disingenuous to have that as one of our core values. There weren't any other families with young children who attended regularly, and the congregation was primarily seniors, many of whom are still here today. So if that's you, and you have been here maybe even before Joseph and Hannah were at the church, we want to say thank you for your faithfulness and for sticking around to see the church become more intergenerational. Excuse me. Now when you look around, it is intergenerational in here. Every group is represented. We have people from all stages of life worshiping together. So we want to celebrate that and cast some further vision for intergenerational ministry at Oceanside.
Yeah, however, we did have some difficulty deciding how we would talk about intergenerational ministry today. The main struggle was that I had lots of ideas for what the message title could be for today. But Ellie shot down all of my ideas, unfortunately. First, I really wanted to highlight the ministry and wisdom of the generations before us. So, you know, encouraging young people to submit to the ministry of older believers came up with respect your elders blindly and don't backtalk, okay?
But obviously that wasn't the note we were trying to hit. Although we do appreciate the ministry of our more mature believers, but this would ignore God's purposes for young people to participate in his good work as well.
Yes, I received that feedback and I agreed. And I decided that instead we should highlight the ministry of younger people with the title Out with the Old, In with the Young. Okay.
But again, we swing too far on the pendulum to the youth side and miss out on the ministry of those who are older than us. So we find ourselves in a bit of a Goldilocks situation, understanding that God's kingdom is not too old and not too young, but just right. We are all a part of the body of Christ, and he intends for all the parts, regardless of age, to work together to fulfill his purposes.
And in the end, you know, we accepted the fact that the best language for the title was already available to us. It was intergenerational ministry, right? Now, the idea of intergenerational ministry, it's not the brainchild of the church staff, right? And it's not just a fun way to get kids involved with serving at church. It is rooted in scripture, where God's prophets and Christ's apostles teach about God working through all generations. So right now, we would love to invite Kaylin and Danielle up to read this new core value to us. Thank you, guys. So right now, first, Kaylin is going to read a portion of scripture that inspires our value, and then Danielle is going to read the actual description of our intergenerational ministry value.
Good morning. I am reading Acts chapter 2, 17 and 18. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will see visions, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy.
Intergenerational ministry. In order to discern God's heart, we seek to hear from, esteem, and receive ministry from all generations. Part of the message of Pentecost is that the young will surprise the old with their wisdom and visions of God's kingdom. The Holy Spirit is not just for adults, what we also pay attention to the wisdom of our elders and encourage them to minister to all with their spirit-inspired imagination that is reminiscent of young dreamers. We don't just minister to different generations, but humbly affirm and receive ministry from all generations.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys. So in Acts chapter 2, we read about the event of Pentecost, when God fills a group of people with the Holy Spirit, and they begin to speak out in other languages. And when people from other places hear and see what's going on, they ask about what's happening, they inquire about it, and the Apostle Peter, he begins to speak to this huge crowd of people, explaining that this is what God has always intended, for both the young and old to receive prophecy, dreams, and visions from him. In Acts 2:18, Peter is actually quoting a passage from the book of Joel, and in the book of Joel, God's prophet Joel is appealing to the kingdom of Judah. At that time, a massive swarm of locusts had destroyed all of their crops and grain fields, and this was seen as divine judgment coming down as a consequence for all of their sin. And the prophet Joel, he calls the people to come together and to repent, to cry out to God and seek his forgiveness. And attached to this call for repentance was the prophecy that God would physically restore their land and spiritually restore his people. Joel prophesies about how God will pour out his spirit on all people, and not in the way that they would have expected, not in the way it had usually been done, with God's power resting on a specific individual, like a high priest or a prophet, like Moses or Joel. No, Joel is speaking of a unique and generous outpouring of God's Spirit onto all people of all ages.
At Pentecost, Peter is pointing back to this Joel passage and telling everyone, this is it. This is the fulfillment of that promise. What God said would happen has happened here. And this is great news for us today. What happened at Pentecost was the beginning of the promise being fulfilled. That promise is still being fulfilled today. If we call upon the name of the Lord, we can be saved. And we also get to receive the gift of the Spirit of God dwelling within us. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, all people of all cultures, genders, social statuses, and ages have the opportunity to be filled with the Spirit, to prophesy, to dream dreams, to see visions, just like Joel said, to lead and teach and pray and worship and carry out God's mission in the world. That's God's desire for us. Typically, young people are described as dreamers, but in Joel's vision, God says old men will be dreamers. Through the power of the Spirit, the old will be rejuvenated to be creative and optimistic and hopeful for the future, and to have new, fresh, and youthful dreams from God. Typically, older people are described as wise and able to discern visions from God, but God spoke through Joel saying that through his power, actually the young will see visions. Through God's Spirit, young people will be filled with wisdom and understanding that doesn't come from their age or their life experience, but rather from God. This is God's vision and desire for the world. You know how we say in an ideal world? Well, in God's ideal world, all of his people of every age and stage are filled with his Spirit and operating in the gifts he has given them. Young and old are gathered together as God pours out his Spirit on them, just like at Pentecost. Young and old are united in building God's kingdom and building up the church. Young and old are ministering to each other and alongside each other.
And this idea, it does, you know, push up against a lot of extra cultural expectations surrounding age. Some cultures honor the elderly even at the expense of younger people and providing them opportunities, demanding respect for elders solely because of their age and not because of anything about them or their character. And some of those cultures have no place for young people to speak or share or really contribute at all. At the same time, other cultures completely disregard or dismiss and really dishonor older people, dishonor the elderly in favor of giving young people these opportunities, abandoning the elderly, neglecting to care for them and to learn from them. But God's kingdom, it pushes back against both those extremes, and is just right, like we talked about earlier. God's kingdom brings value to all people of all ages. He says everybody has something to bring to the table, and it's based on what God imparts. He imparts all those spiritual gifts to different believers.
Intergenerational ministry is about fully embracing the gifts of the Spirit. God has given us the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit to empower us as believers as we work to build God's kingdom and strengthen each other. Without the ministry of all generations, we're missing out on the fullness of God's gifts. If God has given us these amazing gifts to carry out his mission, why would we limit ourselves to only accepting the gifts of certain ages of believers? If God has placed a vision in a child's heart, but we're unwilling to hear it because we feel they're too young, we might be missing out on a really important message from the Lord. If God has given dreams to an elderly believer, but we dismiss this person because we think, oh, they're too old-fashioned or they're too worn out to have new ideas, we're potentially missing out on a really good path that God wants to send us on.
Yeah, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 tells us not to quench the Spirit, not to squash what the Lord is doing. To extinguish or suppress the ministry of certain generations would be an act of quenching the Spirit. So we're not meant to be gatekeepers of God's work. We are to participate in it wholeheartedly, no matter our age, and allow and encourage other people to participate in it, regardless of their age.
So what do we do? What should change about us in light of this fact that God has been and will continue to empower his people from young people to older people? Here are three ways we feel we can engage with this new value: awareness, assessment, and action. So let's start with awareness. For some of you, hearing this message today might be the first time you've ever really thought about God's Spirit empowering other generations. Maybe you had no idea that this was part of God's desire for us. And that is totally fine. Asking questions and wrestling with what it looks like to live this life of faith is actually a sign of a growing faith. So that's good. Awareness of what the Bible says is a great place to start. And once we're aware of this new thing that we may not have noticed before, it's a good idea to move into a place of assessment.
And what we mean by assessment is doing some self-evaluation, some self-reflection, looking at our own hearts to see if there are any attitudes we have that might be quenching the Spirit's work. Underneath the surface, you might have some negative attitudes about the ministry of others, if you really think about it. And some questions you might want to ask yourself as you think about this are, do I have any negative attitudes towards people from other generations? Do I tend to disqualify people and their ministry based on their age? Do I have a hard time receiving encouragement from a younger person or an older person? And it's also possible that we've been holding some attitudes about ourselves that are not scriptural. We might discover that we've disqualified our own selves because of our age. Maybe you've held back in some ways because you feel like you're not the right age to be ministering in that way. And if this is you, we really want to encourage you this morning. If you're a believing adult, especially a more seasoned one, younger people in the church can really benefit from your influence. They need people like you to share your lives with them. They need to hear about your mistakes, how you experience God. They need to see you serving and operating in your God-given gifts. Mm-hmm. And we also really want you to know that you are not too old for youth ministry or kids ministry or other ministries where younger people typically serve. You know, one of the most formative people in my life was a youth volunteer leader who was in his 60s when I was a teenager. And, you know, we had no common interests except for youth group. But, you know, he would give me a ride home from church whenever I didn't have one. You know, he regularly prayed for me and encouraged me. And whenever I'd see him around town, he'd always come up to me and say, hey, right? And that meant so much to me. And you know what? He's actually still a volunteer youth leader today. So, although we do need people who can play dodgeball, We also need just mature Christians who can sit down with teens, listen to them, pray with them, and not judge them. We also believe that through the Spirit, you can be rejuvenated and have the energy to minister to these young people.
For some of you here today, your faithful ministry to your grandchildren is the reason that they're in that other room right now hearing about Jesus. And that's only one type of the amazing intergenerational ministry we've seen you adults engage in since we've been here. You are a blessing, and that blessing does not slowly dissipate as you age. God's power doesn't age or become bedridden, even though our bodies sometimes do. His power in you will continue to bless others around you until eternity, if you allow it. We also want to encourage our very young believers here today. Be bold. Don't feel like you are too young or too inexperienced to use your gifts. If God has given it to you, use it. What God has placed in you and spoken to you is meant to bless and build up this church and believers around the world. Your participation in God's mission, it doesn't need to wait until you graduate or you get married or you have kids or whatever other milestone you've built up for yourself. If you believe in Him, then you're on the team. Right now, right here, just as you are. If you have God's power, you have everything you need. Mm-hmm.
And speaking of the ministry of young people, some of you are in this room right now because of the ministry of your children. Some of your kids, I know, have heard the message of Jesus, caught the vision, and accepted that full life that Jesus offers. And there's something about it that's caught on in your family, and it's why you're here today. The ministry of these children is so real, and we can't just shut it down or ignore it. And that's only one example of the amazing intergenerational ministry that our Oceanside kids and teens are engaged in.
We do all of this self-assessing stuff with God's help. His Spirit reveals to us any attitudes that need adjusting or any fears that we need to let go and lay down. He is faithful to help us and forgive us and to empower us.
And the third way that we can live out this core value is to act. This means ministering to others and receiving ministry from others. We're trying to put this value into action by doing things like having communion together with all the kids in here, served by both kids and adults. We want to have more kids be a part of leading the worshiping through music time. It's important for us to have ministries for young people that older people serve in, like kids' church and preteen nights and youth group. For years, our church has had both adults and kids putting on church services in different care homes in the Oceanside area. And Alpha is an amazing example where lots of new believers and people who are curious about the gospel are coming into our building, and they are of a variety of ages. And we've been having teens all the way to people in their senior years serving those people at Alpha. And there's so much life and vitality in these various ministries where we have multiple age groups serving.
But there are still areas in our church where we can grow as an intergenerational church. We have life groups where people of different ages come together to encourage each other and pray for each other every week. And this is so important. The temptation can be to create groups of people that are all the same age and all the same stage of life. But in your life groups, we want to encourage you to continue including people of different generations. This is one way that we can continue to grow and move in the direction of intergenerational ministry. Another area we can grow in is prayer. Prayer is not a gift for adults alone. Prayer is for everyone. We believe that children, preteens, and teens are able and qualified to pray for people their age, people younger than them, and people older than them. It would be wonderful for the adults in our church to encourage the prayers of our young people and even to allow young people to pray for them. Now, we're not suggesting going into the lobby and finding a random six-year-old and asking them to pray for you because you might file bankruptcy and you're afraid you're going to lose the farm. That would not be appropriate. But we are suggesting that maybe we need to be more humble and sometimes ask children we know to pray for us. Age-appropriate prayer requests, of course. Some kids are afraid to pray in front of adults because they've never really seen that done before. Let's change that. And let me tell you, the prayers of young people are powerful. Their faith in God's ability to answer prayer is so evident in the way that they pray. They pray with such conviction that God is just going to do whatever we ask. So let's become more intergenerational in the prayer life of our church.
Along with the intergenerational life groups and prayer, we think it's also important to be intergenerational in our celebration. What we talk about and celebrate in public is really important. This reveals our values. So we need to make sure that we're publicly celebrating the successes and spiritual victories of people from all generations. So it's great to have testimonies, baptisms, and praise reports from people of all ages in our services.
Another way we can live out intergenerational ministry is to provide lots of opportunities to serve. As our church serves all these different generations, we need to make sure that there are lots of opportunities for people of all age groups to help in the serving. For example, we don't want youth leadership to be limited to only young adult leaders or care home ministries to be limited to only senior leaders. We need to be creating roles for people of all ages. We need to see service in the church not only as beneficial to those we serve, but also beneficial to the people who are doing the serving. Maybe when we're planning something as a church or as a group, we need to, instead of asking, who would be helpful for this event? Instead of asking that question, maybe we can ask, how can we involve all generations in carrying out this project? God is a creative God, and he can help us to be creative as well as we include all generations in carrying out his purposes. We know in all of this that God will be speaking to you and speaking to us and helping us all to live out this value more and more fully.
And we want to close by saying that we aren't going to be perfect in living out this value. This is going to take time and some adjusting and readjusting, but we can see in Scripture that God's desire for his people is to be an intergenerational community of believers working together through the power of the Holy Spirit. And since it's God's desire, we want to make it our own desire. And we share this value with you today to officially declare that we, as a church, value ministry to all generations and from all generations.
We are committing, as a church, to do our best to not quench the Spirit. We are committing to allow the work of God and the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be present among us in all their fullness through all the people God has filled with his Spirit, young and old and everyone in between.
So let us pray as we commit ourselves to intergenerational ministry as a church. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you've called each of us to something special and specific. Pray that you would help us discover those special spiritual gifts you've imparted to each of us, and that you would help us be bold to use them for your kingdom, to serve other generations. We also pray that you would help us to be humble, to receive ministry from other generations, and that you would help us to not quench the Spirit, that you would protect us from any temptation to just slip into what's comfortable and not what's best for the body of believers. We love you and we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.